special beer and food pairing episode of
Brutal Battle.
Yes, so this is a first for the beer and food pairing episodes. We're going to do it a little bit differently. This is an instance where we're not going to do the beer and the food on the actual episode. We're going to recap something that we did. Because this has to do not with us just sitting down and doing this on our own. This has to do with us going to an actual organized beer dinner with five courses paired with different beers. And what was it, Rebecca?
What was what?
The beer dinner.
Delicious?
Well, yes, but where was it and with who?
I was like, what about it?
It was delicious.
It was at Uncle's Hawaiian Grinds, which is a Hawaiian restaurant near us. They provided the food, and then Union Brewing provided the beer.
Union Brewing out of Baltimore. People who are from Maryland or around Maryland know that they're pretty well thought of in the area. One of their most popular beers, Double Duck Pin Imperial IPA, is super popular. And a lot of the stuff they do is really awesome. But we can't just do an episode where we're recapping and we're not drinking any beer, because that would go against the spirit of this podcast. So for that reason, we have a beer in front of us. We're only going to do one beer, but we each have our own beer. It's the same one. It's one that we actually just happen to have on hand, and it happens to be a Union Brewing beer. I bought a six-pack of this because I wanted to give it a shot, and I really, really liked it. I'll probably be buying another six-pack of it, not too long. But this is the Skipjack Pilsner by Union Brewing. They say it's a true bohemian lager on the can.
What does that mean?
Just the style. Like, it's there are different types of lagers. Okay. There's like a Czech style pils slash lager, like bohemian style, German style, you know. So it's 5.1% alcohol. So on the lower end, hey, you have your own can. You're holding your glass out like
I'm used to you like pouring mine though.
Do you want me to pour yours and pour mine?
Kind of.
Okay.
I feel like that's what we do on this podcast. You pour me beer.
I'm not gonna pour you all of it. You can pour some. What you want. And then I'll crack one for myself. You just like the fact that you get beer service on the podcast, right?
Well, I mean, I often serve you beer a lot. Also on the podcast when you're doing your blind tasting.
This is true. This is true.
It's only fair when I come on, you pour me.
Okay, I get you. What does it look like? Does it look like a Pilsner?
Yeah.
It's super clear.
Yellow.
Yeah, I poured it very agitated because I think I've explained on the podcast I like to pour very agitated these days because it gets a lot of extra carbonation out of the beer. I don't really need a whole lot of carbonation in it. It just makes you gassy pretty much. So if you do like a high pour and you get a gigantic head at first, it releases a lot of the CO2, which helps out with not getting gassy. Anyway, what does it smell like?
It just smells so orange. Clean and
crazy clean.
Hay.
Mm-hmm. There's hay, but there's like a honey. But the honey's kind of like, I don't know, it's like malt, like roasted malt coated in honey is okay. Kind of like what it smells like.
Mm-hmm. I could see that.
Mm. And there's like this little kind of like almost candied sweetness on the very, very end. Like a little, like a candied lemon peel maybe.
Okay. Smells so good.
It smells really good. And it, oh, I'm sorry. I thought something happened, but we're still recording. Sorry. Computer doing weird shit, but anyway. Smells so crisp and clean.
It has a, kind of like a bready, yeasty.
Yeah. It's a little bready. I get a decent amount of that hay in there. It's very clean.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little drying, not crazy. Mm. I do feel like I taste that a little bit of like a candied lemon peel on the end that I was talking about. And decent, you know, a decent amount of malt character to it. It's really crisp. It's really clean. It's good.
So
it's tasty.
Why are we drinking this beer first?
So we can drink while we do the podcast, but it also ends up lining up perfectly with our story.
This is the first. It lines up with our story. This is the first beer we had with our first course of our beer dinner. Mm-hmm. So that was a Skipjack Pilsner. It says it has notes of grassy, crisp citrus.
But there was a big difference to note. This the one that we're drinking out of the cans is their typical Skipjack Pilsner, which is filtered. For the beer dinner, they wanted to do a non-filtered version. And they said kind of the reason for that is that the additional yeastiness that would be in that would kind of increase the hay notes, is what they were kind of looking for, to go with the dish they had it paired with.
So. Okay, so the first course, food-wise, to go with the Pilsner, was half an avocado stuffed and baked with crumbled Portuguese sausage, topped with crispy spinach, preserved pineapple jam, and a Harford County nugget hop-infused pickled onion.
Harford County is the county we live in Maryland. So, oh, I do want to say that I took pictures of all the courses, and if I remember to, I'm hoping I do, I'm going to post that on the website with the post for this episode. Also, I'll post a try to remember to post a picture of the menu itself. So if people kind of want to look at that and look at pictures of the actual food, the food was pretty. And I made sure to get each picture so that you can see the beer in the background as well. So if you want to see the color of it, whatever. So with this first course, that unfiltered Skipjack Pilsner, the notes we wrote down, because I actually took a little notebook and wrote down notes on everything. We thought the beer was a lot of hay, honey to it. There was slight bitter on the finish. And then I also noted that Kevin Blodger, the head brewer from Union Brewing, who was on hand there, said that it was kind of their Keller version of a pils. With the food, the notes I wrote down were sweet, fatty, fruity, with an onion kick on the finish. And together, the actual pairings, so I broke these, the pairing of it broke it down, because for me, my palate's a little bit different, and I feel like if I try the food first and then I go to the beer, I can see what impact the food flavors have on the beer flavors. And then I like drink a little bit of water, cleanse my palate, and then I drink the beer and then eat some of the food and see what the impact is of the flavors from the beer on the flavors of the food. So I kind of separated it that way with the pairing notes. So the pairing notes I had for us was for the food, it cleans the beer up by rounding out the bitter end, making it more crisp and actually reducing the amount of hay notes in it. So in that case, the food actually was increasing the flavor of the beer and making it more enjoyable. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I was really bad during this because you were like taking notes and like I was just eating, drinking, and socializing.
Yeah, so Rebecca was participating in probably the first two courses.
Yeah.
And then after all the notes are pretty much just me because she just was involved in conversation and stuff.
I would say, the first two, you were writing things down and we were back and forth with ideas. And after that.
Yeah, it was like game over. So the beer, going from beer to food, I thought the beer kicked up the pineapple tart flavor that was in the food. And it also brought a little bit of the sausage spice out, which I didn't really perceive like a ton. And it also increased a little bit my perception of acid in the food. So overall, I kind of felt like this was a symbiotic relationship. Mm-hmm. You know, both of them enhanced each other, and that was awesome. So that was a really good way to start the beer dinner.
This is our favorite pairing.
Yeah, this by far was the best pairing. It wasn't our favorite beer and our favorite course, but it was our favorite pairing. And also I did want to note that we talked and we preferred the Skipjack out of the can more than the unfiltered Skipjack, just because the extra yeastiness, breadiness to it, it increased the hay. Like, I don't want too much hay in my beer, especially not something like a Pilsner that you can easily taste that. There's nothing else to really mask it. And I'm not huge on hay. I'm good with a little bit, but we kind of both agreed that we like the regular Skipjack mm-hmm. more.
But the avocado and the pickled onion, mm-hmm. that was the best.
Yeah, the pickled onion on that. Like, I think we've had pickled onion before, mm-hmm. but I just feel like that dish in particular just drove home to us, like, how amazing pickled onion really is, mm-hmm. and our true feelings about pickled onion. Yeah, it was so awesome. Good. So the second course. Okay.
Second course, the beer was the Steady Eddie IPA at 7%. Do you want to talk about the beer?
Yeah, so the beer was, I wrote down that it was significantly floral, which actually was coming from a lemongrass type flavor to it. Got like a quick hit of a lemon note in there. And it was a little bit wheat driven as well, which I think they actually add wheat to it.
It was a lighter IPA.
Yeah, I wrote down interesting, not quite IPA. I just felt like it didn't really taste like an IPA. It tasted like a wheat pale ale, kind of.
Yeah, I kept saying, like, this isn't. And it's funny because one of the guys at our table who doesn't necessarily like IPAs liked this beer. So mm-hmm. I thought that was kind of.
Well, they said that there was like a bit of a coconut note in the mm-hmm. beer as well, which I didn't really get that. I don't know. Did you?
I didn't.
Yeah. But the guy sitting across from us said he was really getting it. But I really wasn't getting it. Then the food.
Okay. So this is the weird course. It is a mesquite smoked and grilled split beef bone marrow with organic corn shoot, charred mango, and a jalapeno IPA creme fraiche with a coconut honey butter grilled sweetbread toast.
So Rebecca was intimidated.
I was like, when it came I would out. Have never eaten bone marrow if yeah. it wasn't for this. And I don't need to eat it again.
It looks weird because the way they presented it, it's like literally a bone cut in half because they served it in the bone.
Yeah.
Like they were roasting it in bone halves.
Yeah.
So, a little odd, but yeah. I liked it.
The sweetbread toast was amazing.
Yeah, no, that was phenomenal.
So, it was good when you kind of put it all on top of the toast and took a bite. But,
yeah. So, for the notes on the actual food, I wrote that it was fatty. It was a little bit funky. It had, like, a savory umami note to it. And the mango laying on top was, like, a nice kind of fruity citrus kick.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it was like it was like a congealed, mm-hmm. soft fat.
Yeah, it's like gelatinous.
Yeah.
I mean, so you have to be okay with that texture difference. It's kind of like, to me, a mix between like a gelatin and a butter.
Yeah,
in a way.
For sure.
Yeah, consistency is mainly the problem for people, but
I would say
it's good.
I'm so kind of surprised they served that because it's.
It's outside of the box type. Yeah,
a lot of people at our table didn't finish it.
Yeah. But also a lot of people asked to take the bones home for their dogs.
Yeah.
Which they were happy to oblige that. Yeah. They're like, yeah, sure, we'll box them up for you. So I thought that was cool.
We tried to offer our bones to somebody, but they didn't want them.
They didn't want them. So the actual pairing together, I felt like the food increased the citrus in the beer and ended up lowering the overall bitterness of it. So for that reason, I felt like the beer really got help from the food. So once again, being symbiotic like that. But then I also felt that the beer increased the funk in the actual, in the bone marrow, but then it also increased the perception of the acid coming from the mango. So a little good, a little bad. I feel like increase of funk with the food was kind of a bit of a negative. Not too bad, but the increase of the mango acidity was a positive. So decent pairing, I thought, though. I was down with that pairing. Pretty good.
Okay.
You felt the same, I take it?
To me, I just didn't like this course, so I had a tough time with
thinking about it critically. Yeah.
Okay, so course number 3 was the Rye Baby Seasonal IPA, coming in at 6.5%.
And this, the notes, we put earthy spice with a little bit of an orange kick to it. It had kind of like a medium-low bitterness and a multi-sweet finish to it.
This was my favorite beer.
Was not my favorite beer, but I enjoyed it. It was probably my third favorite beer.
Oh, okay.
Third favorite, yeah.
So that was paired with the a Rye Baby Beer Tempura Battered Fried Shrimp to Boston Korean barbecue with wasabi, pear, and ginger gastrique, atop shaved asparagus and pickled carrot. Mm-hmm. So this was my favorite food dish.
Also my favorite food dish.
It was amazing.
Which I don't eat fried stuff all that often because my stomach doesn't really like fried stuff. It lets me know very violently at times. So I kind of stay away from fried things. But I was like, you know what? This is a beer dinner. I'm going to go all the way. If I don't feel well tonight, then I'll just deal with it.
Throw a caution to the wind.
Yeah, but I had no problems whatsoever. And man, did it taste amazing. So the food we wrote down for the notes, salty, sweet, citrusy, fatty, crunchy, had a peanut kick to it, and the pickled carrot was good. Amazing.
It just was like layers upon layers. It was like a little sweet, like a really vinegary. Mm-hmm. Yeah, all the different textures. It was really good.
Yeah, and I felt like all of the courses had layers of flavor.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But of all the courses, this one had the most layers of flavor. And I felt like it was the situation where they were all pretty even.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, like, very harmonious, each bite.
And the wasabi pear was kind of interesting because you had, obviously, the wasabi. And then the pear added a little sweetness to it.
Yeah.
It just was good.
So then the food, we felt, with the actual pairing, that the food thinned the beer out a little bit and actually made it more bitter. It actually took a lot of the flavor perception out of what was going on in that rye baby and made it just bitter. Didn't work for that reason with the beer. We felt like the beer then increased the acid and the fruity notes, as well as the fatty component to the food. So this is an instance where the beer actually helped to enhance the food a little bit, but the food was making the beer not taste so good. Actually, I would say this was my least favorite pairing for the beer. That was unfortunate, but separately, awesome, and together, awesome for the food, mm-hmm. not the beer.
Okay, so the fourth course was their Double Duck Pin Double IPA, 8.5%.
So for this one, we wrote down that we got a lot of grapefruit peel, there was a light sweet caramel to it, and a medium bitterness. But it was a lot of like grapefruit type notes to it. This is a really highly thought of and sought after beer. For what Union does, they only release it once a quarter, I believe, and it's super popular. It sells pretty quickly in liquor stores, so it's a big one. It was paired with?
A double duck meatloaf with blueberry barbecue, crispy onion, roasted baby veg with caramelized garlic celery root puree, and pickled mustard seeds.
Which, by the way, when you hear celery root puree, you're probably going to think, bleh, but
it is so good.
Not the case. So for the food, I wrote that it was fatty, slight sweetness with a tang, with a little bit of like a tangy finish, and then you get the mustard kick on the end. But it also was just a slight bit gamey, which mm-hmm. you typically get from duck. But it was a very kind of like decadent food, and it was like super filling too. Actually, you didn't even finish all yours.
I didn't finish it. It was a decent. It was more of like a meatball.
Yeah, that's how they served it. It was like a meatball.
Yeah, I'm like, oh man, I have one more course. I don't want to be uncomfortable.
Well, so Rebecca took it home, and then she was like, I don't really feel like eating it. This was the next day, and I was like, well, I'll eat what's left over. I gotta tell you, it was even better the next day. Even though I ate it cold, I didn't warm it back up. I eat things cold. As leftovers go, I eat it. I always eat cold. But it was even better the next day. It was really awesome. So the pairings together, the food actually decreased the beer's body and accentuated the bitterness. So it was very similar to the last course and what that did to the rye baby. The food for this course did the exact same thing to the double duck pin. So that was unfortunate. Then we felt that the beer increased the food's sweetness and the tang, and it actually made the blueberry barbecue sauce stand out more mm-hmm. in the dish, which was a good thing.
And so, I liked that barbecue sauce.
Yeah. Oh, no, that barbecue sauce was really, really awesome. If they bottled that, I would mm-hmm. purchase it to just, like, put it on actually everything at home mm-hmm. that we make. But, yeah, once again, a situation where the pairing wasn't good for the beer, but it was good for the food. So it worked one way. Then to round out the meal.
Last course was, the beer was their Pink Flamingo, which is a grapefruit ginger sour, 5%. Oh, thank you, sir.
I'll pour you the rest of your beer.
And this was Carlin's favorite beer.
Yes. Yeah, the Pink Flamingo. So they don't do a ton of sours. Union doesn't do all that much. But when they do sours, they do sours. The one sour that most people will know by them, if you know Union, is their Old Pro, which is their Berliner Weiss. Or no, I'm sorry. Their Goza. Yes. Sorry. And then they have a bunch of iterations of it that are barrel-aged in, like, white wine barrels with fruit. And those are unbelievable. They call those Older Pro. And then they have a series where they did Third Stone, which was an apricot sour, which was phenomenal. Fraggle Rock, which was a strawberry rhubarb sour, which Rebecca says is phenomenal. I didn't get a chance to try it, but she says it's awesome.
Too bad, so sad.
Yeah. And then in this line, the third installment was this Pink Flamingo. Yeah, that was my favorite beer. For the notes, tasting notes, I wrote light sourness with grapefruit and slight ginger mixing in with it. It had a little bit of a cereal finish to it, but it was a super soft beer overall. Mm-hmm. It's just like laid in your mouth, just like very gently. The ginger, things like ginger can be too much. But their level of ginger, I felt like, was just like this little kiss of ginger throughout the flavor of it. The grapefruit really stood out, and it was very nice.
Yeah, I mean, I remember the grapefruit. It was just so vibrant. For me, I mean, it was very good. I do not like ginger. So for me, I was like, you know, when you just don't like a flavor, you pick it out and you think it's overpowering. So for me, it wasn't my favorite just because of the ginger. But it was, I can appreciate it. It was tasty. I drank it all.
Yeah.
Okay.
Paired so with?
That was paired with half an apple stuffed with candied macadamia nuts and caramel, braised in sour beer, topped with Paradise Donut, which is a donut shop near there. Paradise Donut Chipotle Brown Sugar Donut Hole.
So for the flavoring, I wrote, we got nutty, brown sugar, sweet apple, and then a slight spice that kind of tasted to me like allspice. I didn't pick up the donut, like, at all. I didn't get any of the heat from the donut, which I assume is supposed to have a little bit. I didn't get any of kind of like a donut-y type flavor or fried anything.
It was more just like a crumble of, kind of just like when you have like an apple crust. Mm-hmm. Like that oatmeal sugar crumble. It was just kind of like that.
Yeah. And I felt
like, which was so good.
I felt like of what was stuffed into it, the nuts overpowered everything else. So it was, really to me, the strongest flavors were brown sugar, nuts, apple.
Yeah. Out of all the courses, I feel the most critical of this one because it just didn't.
It didn't land the way you want.
Like,
yeah.
One, it said it was supposed to be a half an apple, and it was a whole apple, which for me, I think was bad because I don't think it got, the whole apple didn't get cooked all the way through.
There were some more crisp parts toward the bottom.
Like, not crisp, like it was hard. Like I couldn't.
Yeah, like crisp hard.
Like they didn't give you a knife, so you're trying to, but so by this time you've had a decent amount of beer, you're full. And then they give you this apple that is, like, sliding around your plate.
Yeah.
Hopefully it will get stuck and you can wedge it in some of the caramel sauce. Try to, like, it's just awkward. I ate, like, the crumble and that in the caramel sauce was amazing. But I think if they just would have really, like, halved the apple or even cut the apple or something so it would get a little softer.
I agree with that, but I also believe that maybe they should have done the half apple and kind of like crusted it with the brown sugar, because the problem is having the whole apple, all the brown sugar kind of just melted off of it. If you have it half apple, it'll kind of crust on there more because there's more surface area. It's not rounded.
If they did more of like a apple crisp and sliced the apples.
Sure. Yeah. I like that.
Those are, I don't know. I mean, the flavors were good. And I liked, and they said, you know, because we're a Hawaiian restaurant, you know, we wanted to bring in the macadamia nut. which I get, and it was, I'm a big dessert person, so I'm also kind of critical, but I liked the fact that it was a lighter dessert.
Yes, I like that aspect of it for sure.
I thought that was kind of nice, but it just kind of...
After the four other courses that were crazy awesome, it was still quite good. It just kind of, in comparison, landed a little flat for that reason.
Yeah, but the caramel sauce was amazing, and the stuffing was good, but the stuffing ratio to the apple was just not proportional.
Yeah. And to your point about the fact that you had a bit of beer at that point, they were also offering refills on every single beer that we had. So you had the option to have a decent amount of beer. And they said after the fact, feel free to hang out and drink more of the beer when you're done. Which we didn't because it was a school night, as we say.
Yeah. Well, by this time, it was like 10:30?
No. Well, it wasn't that late. It was 9:30-ish. Actually, it was like 9:15, I'd say.
It was definitely after 9:15 because my alarm on my phone went off, meaning I had 30 minutes to get into my bed.
You're an old lady.
And because I have a bedtime alarm, so I know I need to start getting ready for bed.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I know we were.
So for me, this was my least favorite of the food, but my favorite of the beer. So how did those play together? We felt like the food increased the sourness a little bit in the beer, and it made the grapefruit even more prominent, which is nice. And it took that cereal note in there totally out. So big win for what the food did to the beer. It made the beer even better, which was a pretty awesome feat because the beer was really awesome in the first place. The beer, we felt, increased the sweetness in the food, and it made the spices stand out actually a little bit more. So this was another instance of the beer doing well to the food and the food to the beer. More symbiotic. Yeah. So yeah, we kind of started it very strong with the actual pairing and ended strong with the actual pairing.
And
so it's pretty nice.
Kudos to them for doing something other than like a dark beer for a dessert.
I know. No, that's a really good point because that is such an easy go-to.
Yeah.
To just be like, here's a creme brulee or a bread pudding with a stout, with like an imperial stout or an oatmeal stout or something like that. Yeah, I agree with that. It was a very outside of the box thing, and it was a good idea.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah. Well, and I think, you know, everything was very delicate about that last course, which is kind of nice because we all throughout the meal had a lot of like heavy fat. I mean, they were small portions, you know, obviously.
Not super small, though. But,
well, yeah, the meatball was...
I mean, we were both full.
Yeah, we were
full. When the meal was over.
But they were all kind of, like, on the fattier side.
True.
So it was nice. Like, I'm glad they started off with the avocado, because that was lighter, and obviously finished with something lighter.
Yeah.
So it was very good. I'm glad we went.
So, I did want to comment, they could have charged more for this. It was $48 per person, which if people out there know about food or about beer dinners, it's usually a little bit higher cost. So it depends on what breweries involved in it. Depends even more on what restaurants involved with it. So to give people an idea for a comparison, the brewery / brewery Terryu / offshoot beer company out of California, they are doing a beer dinner down in D.C., relatively soon, and they're doing it with a restaurant that's pretty well thought of, Momofuku, and so it's a little more fine dining. They are doing 5-course beer and food pairing, so much the same as this, you know, Uncle's and Union beer dinner, and they're charging $95 per person for it.
That's high.
That is on the higher end, but I do believe that what's a little more normal is probably somewhere around $70, $75 per person for these types of things.
I was going to say, 60 to 70, I guess.
Yeah, between 60 and 75 is where I typically see it. When we saw $48 per person for this, I was like, I feel like that's cheap.
Yeah.
For the amount of beer, the amount of food, I feel like that's cheap. So it is in comparison to the beer dinners going on out there. So... kudos to them for keeping it very affordable for people, relatively. And maybe they did that just because it was their first one.
Yeah.
You know, just wanted to gauge interest. I would be surprised
to see if they, I'm sure they're going to do one. Well, hopefully they'll do one again. They said they were Really liked it. The chef was like really jazzed about it.
Yeah. His name was Travis. I'm sorry, I don't know his last name. But he was really, yeah, you could tell he was really into it. And you could tell he was really into actually cooking it because that stuff was done very, very well.
Mm-hmm.
I really like Union and their beers, and I really enjoyed the beers while we were there. But I do have to say that, like, my focus was so much on the food. Yeah. Because that food just kicked so much ass. It was awesome. I really, really hope they do this again.
Mm-hmm.
We will go. And if we go again, we'll do another episode like this. Honestly, if we go to any more beer dinners in general, we'll do another episode like this.
It's been a while.
Yeah, it had been a while. I don't even remember what the last beer dinner was we went to.
I feel like it was Trogues.
Yeah, we did a Trogues beer dinner at Pairings Bistro, which is actually really close to our house. And that was years ago. It was years and years ago. We were well overdue for a beer dinner.
We always see them and we're like, oh, that looks good. But they always are expensive.
Yeah.
And then it's like,
Yeah, I feel like you're a little hesitant to pull the trigger with those types of things. Not you specifically, but I just mean like the collective you. By the way, the Skipjack is still tasting mighty nice.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a really good beer because I feel like you can kind of ignore it if you want to, but there's a decent amount of flavor there that you can really pay attention to it if you also want to.
The flavor there will not be ignored.
Yeah, it won't allow you to totally ignore it, but you can like you can just easily drink it if you want. And I think a lot of that has to do with the ABV.
Oh yeah.
And just how light and crisp it is. But this is a tasty ass beer. I just wasn't a big fan of the unfiltered version. It was okay.
Yeah.
But
I just
it's much like anything. Like if you have two different versions, you're always gonna compare the other version to the version you liked more.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's just the way it was with me. I was like, oh, I love Skipjack so much. So I thought it was gonna be straight Skipjack. And they were like, oh, it's unfiltered. And I was like, oh, this could be cool. And then I tried it. I'm like, I like regular Skipjack a lot more.
We didn't know. We tasted it. And we were like, we don't like this as much as we remember it.
Oh, yeah, that's
then
right.
Then they said it was unfiltered. And we're like, oh, that might be why.
Yeah. So it was awesome. Good job, Union. Good job, Uncles. So great.
Mm-hmm.
It was wonderful. And this was on like a Wednesday night. So it was an awesome way to just break up the week. I would encourage people to go out and just like, even if there's no beer dinners available during the week or anything, just make up your own beer dinner. Go out to a restaurant and have something, have a beer with it, maybe get a few courses, even if it's just sharing appetizers and get a different beer with each appetizer, or do it at home, you know, cook your own stuff and have multiple beers with your food.
You're encouraging people to get drunk.
On a weeknight.
Whoa.
Yeah. So anyway, hopefully this was a decent episode for people. You can always give us feedback. Just email at brutalbattlepodcast@gmail.com. Let us know if you like this type of thing. If you want us to do more beer dinners, if we have the funds to do that, and then we can report back to you. Or if you have ideas for other stuff that you want to see happening with the podcast. Or not see, but hear. Anyway, thank you everyone for listening to it. Thanks, Rebecca, for not only doing this episode, but going to a beer dinner with me.
Oh, it was painful.
That's tough work, isn't it?
It was really hard.
So you know what else is actually not going to be hard is finishing this Skipjack.
Yeah, I know.
So we'll do that, and until next time.
Keep it brutal.
This has been a Nerd Circle podcast production.